You're with us for Canada Conversations leading up to the April spring election. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So we're focusing on the race for superintendent of public instruction. Voters narrowed the field down to two in the February primary. And we just spoke with candidate Deb Kerr. Now we have candidate Jill Underley on the line, superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District. That's about 20 miles southwest of Madison. What do you want to know about her priorities for public schools in our state? It's 800-642-1234. Jill, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. I'm excited to be here this morning.
Why do you feel you're the better candidate for state superintendent than your opponent in this race, Deb Kerr?
Yeah, I've been a leader in the state, by offering full-day, high-quality preschool and childcare to all families, because we know that high-quality preschool helps kids perform better in school and helps families who struggle with childcare costs. And, I've safely led my school district through the pandemic this past year, and I've had our schools opened since September. We gave parents an option, and that worked really well. They got to choose between in-person as well as virtual. And just working really hard, and as a parent of two right now who are in middle school, I get it. I know how critical it is for our kids to be in school as well as for our workforce and our economy. So I think I'm the right person right now at the right time.
What would be your first days on the job like? What would you prioritize?
Yeah, there's a ton of priorities right now, so it's a tall order. Certainly making sure that our schools have the resources they need to open their doors come September 1st. Maybe even working to remove that September start date so that locally district leaders can say we want to open up earlier. But then making sure, again, they have the resources that they can use to have after-school programming, enrichment, as well as remediation opportunities for kids, because our kids and our families missed out on so much this past year.
Do you think the state should require all schools to start earlier than normal next fall to make up for the learning loss in the pandemic?
I'm not in favor of requiring that, and I'll tell you why. I've talked to parents because, that's what I do as a superintendent currently. A lot of them want their kids to have a normal summer, but I do feel that if that's what they want to have locally, they should work with their school boards and their district leaders to make that happen.
What should in-person classes look like for schools? Should schools that provide in-person learning receive more state funding than schools that are providing virtual or hybrid instruction?
I think that's really one of those questions that on the surface sounds like a great idea, but honestly, when you kind of go below the surface, it really opens up questions about equity. The schools that are open right now are the rural schools. They're primarily white. They have the resources. Maybe they have smaller class sizes already, so they're able to socially distance, and they have the PPE, and, they have perhaps, more resources in that regard. Whereas in the communities, especially communities of color, where we have larger schools and we have crowded classrooms and probably outdated buildings and HVAC systems, that's why they're closed. The buildings are closed. And there's certainly expenses, associated with virtual learning, such as technology. So I think, we'd have to really question what the motivations are behind that.
Kelly from Oshkosh called in, couldn't stay with us. And Kelly wonders, what you feel is the overall goal of public education in Wisconsin?
Yeah, the overall goal is that every child should have access to a great public education. I mean, this is the solid foundation for our democracy. It's the cornerstone in our communities so that kids can, for the rest of their lives, have that foundation to thrive. And that's really why I'm running.
School choice advocates say you're hypocritical because you champion public schools, but you did pay to enroll your kids in private school while you lived in Madison. What is your response to that?
Yeah, I had to chuckle actually when I heard that because it was so long ago. And I think it's misleading, to be honest. I sent my kids to a full day private preschool and full day, full week 4K and 5K. Because it was also childcare and it was wraparound care, and my public school didn't offer it. So I made sure that when I became superintendent and my kids were now in elementary, we started here at Pecatonica when my daughter was in first grade. I made sure to bring those programs to my public school. So all kids have it here at my school now. And I brought it to Pecatonica because I didn't have that as a parent.
What exactly is your vision for 4K? I mean, you hugely support it. You want to expand it, but how do you fund it?
Yeah, you know, we've been finding that you can fund it. And right now, we certainly get reimbursed for 60%. If we got reimbursed more, that would be great. But a lot of programs offer half-day programs, and they offer that transportation in the middle of the day. We found that by eliminating the transportation and by, you know, having the full-day program, full week, but just the transportation savings were enough to allow us to hire another teacher so we could offer it full day, full week.
So you're saying, you know, look at other areas of spending and see if you can make up that difference by putting it in toward a full day program. Would you be able to do that at all schools across the state?
I think so. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yes, I think we can, because when you look at it, it builds up our kids and it helps them have that great foundation for elementary school and they're on a path to academic success. We also found that we were retaining kids in our schools. They were not open enrolling out for childcare. And so we had that savings too in our open enrollment out numbers.
This hour, we're talking with each candidate running for state superintendent on April 6th. Jill Underley is with us, superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District. You can join in. What decisions by the state superintendent have you supported? What do you want to see more of with DPI? How do you feel about how the Department of Public Instruction is doing now amid the pandemic? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPI. .org. We heard from Sarah in Mequon, called in, couldn't stay with us. Sarah is a teacher and wonders how you would approach the teacher shortage. How will you attract more teachers, specifically teachers of color?
Yeah, that's a challenge. And, you know, as a person who's hiring teachers all the time, I know and I believe in the fact that we need highly trained, passionate, and compassionate teachers in our profession. So I look forward to working with our teachers groups as well as with our schools and colleges of education and our school boards, because at the end of the day, we all want the same things, right? We want really great teachers because they equal great schools. You know, as far as attracting and retaining, I mean, we have to look at teacher salary. And I know that's really kind of a testy subject, but we really need to pay people what they're worth, you know, for their education and their knowledge and their skills and their abilities. You know, the profession lags about 20% behind in income from other similar careers. But we also need to look at the structure of our teaching day. We need to make sure that we have school-based professional development. We need to support teachers. And, you know, when we look at staff and student of color, I mean, we need to be intentional. We need to make sure that students and staff of color need to be safe and they need to feel welcome in their schools, because we know that a lot of people currently don't. And so, you know, when we look at diversity, it'll benefit everybody, and it'll especially benefit the academic achievement of our Black and Brown students.
Well, let's look at that achievement gap. You know, Wisconsin leading the nation and having the largest gap between Black and white academic success. Our current state superintendent, Carolyn Stanford Taylor, says Wisconsin's achievement gap is a crisis. What in your track record shows that you're ready to address this crisis on day one?
Yeah, you know, and I guess, you know, when I look at it, Carolyn is spot on. I mean, it is a crisis, but we have to look at it also from the perspective that these are opportunity gaps, and these are gaps that are based on the fact that where you live determine your opportunities, and the kids with more opportunities will have better achievement. I mean, just look at the higher poverty communities. They're going to have lower test scores. You know, wealthier communities will have better test scores. And I want all our communities to have great, you know, opportunities for their kids. So regardless of our zip codes, our kids need to get a world-class education here in Wisconsin. So when you look at the gaps, these existed before the pandemic. Certainly they've been exacerbated during and after. But I think we should also acknowledge that, you know, we need to expand preschool for everyone, like I did at Pecatonica. We need to invest in the programs we know that will work. And in our higher poverty communities where we have higher gaps, preschool will help. And it also provides high quality childcare, setting kids up for success. We also need to look at recruitment and retention of high quality teachers in all our schools. We need more fair and equitable school finance that works for all public schools in Wisconsin. And we need to attack the problems that, you know, are rooted in generational poverty. We need to provide you know, whatever it takes for kids, you know, whether it's meals, whether it's health care, whether it's mental health care. I mean, we need to improve our facilities. I mean, there's so many things that we need to do in Wisconsin. But, you know, because this has been a long lived problem and we need to end it.
Yeah. So competing priorities, you want to invest in programs that work. But do you support increasing aid for schools if that would mean raising sales taxes or income taxes or other tax collections in the state?
Yeah, I think we certainly need to look at different revenue streams. We can't always put the burden on our taxpayers. When you look at the number of referendums that are being passed, every time a referendum is passed in our communities, the school funding formula becomes more unequal and it becomes more broken. So, we do need to look at different revenue. You know, those are options for sure. I mean, other states have, you know, entirely different revenue streams, you know, luxury taxes, for example. I mean, there's certain things we can look at, you know, interest from state forests, I think there's a lot of possibilities, but we need to do something. We need to get more resources to the schools and the kids that need it the most.
We're talking with Jill Underle, who is superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District, running for state superintendent of public instruction. The spring election is 2 weeks from now. And we talked with candidate Deb Kerr in the first half of the hour. What do you want to know about Jill Underle's priorities for public education in our state? What issues matter most to you for Wisconsin's next schools chief? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our candidate conversations. 2 weeks from the spring election now, the state superintendent or the next school superintendent takes over at a trying time. Schools are delivering a mix of in-person and virtual instruction, learning loss in the pandemic, the racial achievement gap, as we've been talking about, and competing resources among rural and urban districts. We're talking about all these issues with both candidates. What's on your mind as well? Are you an undecided voter in this election? What do you want to know before casting a ballot? 800-642-1234. Candidate Jill Underle is superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District, and she's with us for 10 more minutes. Diane is joining us from Iron County with a question. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. I taught for like 30 years, and I've looked at this. The countries with the highest achieving schools have a much different work day for the teachers. The contact time between the teacher and the student is much less. We would get 47 minutes a day. I taught four different types of science, and I had to do everything within that 47 minutes, assess, lesson planning, parent contact, individual student help, collaboration with other teachers during that 47 minutes, whereas other countries, the teachers get, I think, about 40% of their daily time to do these things.
Diane, thank you. Jill, how would you address this prep time and this crunch?
Yeah, it's tough. And I'll be honest, rural teachers have it tough. I mean, like Diane said, she was a science teacher, and in some school districts, she may have been the only science teacher at the high school. And so there she, you know, was teaching not just biology, but chemistry, physics, environmental science, as well as any electives they may offer. And it's tough. You know, you wear a lot of hats. You certainly are the point of contact for all the parents as well in science. And so, you know, we need to look at how we can get more individuals in front of our kids. In our rural communities, you know, they may have smaller class sizes, but they are certainly stretched. And I know as a superintendent of a rural community, but the challenges are very similar also in urban communities. We've got larger class sizes. And so those teachers, maybe if they are only teaching the same subject all day, they still have really large caseloads. You know, and Diane's accurate, you know, when you look at other countries, they have different, you know, days. The days are structured differently for school. And it's not as overwhelming, I think, for kids, but it's also not one of those insurmountable professions, I think, for the adults too. So I would love to look at it. I'd love to look at additional structures, you know, how we can structure our school day, how we can get more staff. But again, that takes more funding.
What about year-round school? Where are you at with that?
I'm a fan. You know, I'll be honest, there's a couple states that I'm aware of that are currently doing year-round schools. I think in many cases, they make it like a local option, you know, mm-hmm. where the school board decides to do it. But, you know, I think it's a good idea, and I think it's worth exploring, especially for our elementary aged kids, when parents need that summer, you know, for their kids to have, you know, to be engaged. And we can look at how that would reduce the summer, quote, slide, you know, in achievement. So I think it's worth it. You know, I think it's worth exploring.
Diane, thanks. Linda is now with us from Pewaukee. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was wondering if the candidate could address the importance of and her views on the outdoor classroom. Thank you.
It's a great question, Linda. Thanks for asking that. I'm a big fan of outdoor education. I see how much of a positive impact that has on our health and our mental health, not just for our kids, but also for our adults. So certainly it's something that I feel all schools should have an option, you know, for them to have outdoor spaces so that they could teach outside. But we also have at my school, school gardens. I know lots of schools have school forests. You know, like our agricultural classes often have like fields that they use for trials. I think it's a hugely important aspect of a well-rounded education.
Where are you at on school consolidation? Wisconsin has more than 400 school districts. Should the state provide financial incentives to help school districts consolidate?
I know in the past, the state of Wisconsin has offered at least, you know, research funding or, you know, if they were going to explore consolidation. And I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I do feel that our schools do need some more options if that's what they want to do and they locally decide by their school board that that's what they want to do. I look back at Palmyra Eagle and I just feel that was handled so poorly. You know, it was currently a local decision that that's what they wanted to pursue. But rural schools really don't have many options. You know, certainly we should have options if our communities want to go with a K-8 building, for example, and keep the local village school and then maybe have a unified high school. But that's currently not an option for our rural schools. So I think that's worth exploring, you know, working with the legislature to provide opportunities for our communities to keep open their rural school, but also look for more opportunities for their high school kids.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the two candidates in the race for state superintendent on April 6th. We have Jill Underly with us now, superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District. We talked with Deb Kerr earlier this hour. What questions do you have for Jill Underly? What do you want to know about her qualifications, her positions? How do you feel the state DPI, Department of Public Instruction, is doing as an agency? 800-642-1234. Jill, you know, the state superintendent has limited powers. You have to work within the budget, the laws established by lawmakers. So how would you wield the superintendent's powers to bring about change?
Yeah, that's a great point, Kate, because really they don't have a ton of legislative powers. But actually, the only powers they have are really through educator licensing and, you know, working with our schools and colleges of education. But as far as legislation goes, the state superintendent and that office can recommend policies. They can do some research and they can also testify and encourage and advocate, you know, for different policies. But I also feel that, you know, when you look at the position historically, there have been some state superintendents who have been able to wield that power statewide of influence. And, you know, I look at Dr. Bert Grover, for example. He was one of the most well-known, I hate to use the word politician for state superintendent, but that's really what it is, politicians in the state. And he was known because he was constantly communicating about what was best for kids and sharing statewide, you know, policies that would impact kids positively. And that's what I would like to do, too. I would like to have more transparency with the State Department of Public Instruction, but also, you know, communicating widely throughout our communities about what we're doing and the great things public schools are doing and what we know works in our public schools.
let's talk about the private school choice programs, the four separate private school voucher programs. You've suggested phasing out the state's voucher program. If the program is a drain on public schools and their students, as you say, why not eliminate vouchers now?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't want to ever take away something that a kid currently has, right? So, for example, with the vouchers, there's lots of kids in the voucher program, and I wouldn't take away a voucher from them. But I do feel that we should put a freeze on the enrollment. The program is only expanding, and then in 2024, the caps come off entirely. And right now, the program costs $380 million a year just for vouchers. And when you look again at the long-term impacts that this is having on our public schools, our facilities are crumbling. Our teachers' pay isn't increasing. We've got extra demands on our schools, and they're not getting the funding for it. You have to wonder why. So in the long term, we can't afford two public school systems, and we need to make sure that every child has access to a quality education in a public school every day.
You're endorsed by the State Teachers Union that opposes Act 10. Governor Walker and other supporters of Act 10 say repealing the law would place too much power with unions instead of elected officials. What is your response to that?
Well, I think we have to look at the impact of Act 10 and how public education was revered in Wisconsin and nationally in Wisconsin prior to Act 10. Mm-hmm. Act 10 cut $1 billion from our schools in 2011. It was $600 per kid. And you look at that impact over year after year after year, that was an additional $4 billion in the last decade. And we really struggle in, you know, funding our schools. And we basically had a governor and a legislature that balanced their budget shortfall on the back of our kids. And we struggle now recruiting and retaining teachers because of the cuts to pay and benefits. And again, when we talk about teachers, they are the most important component in that classroom when it comes to instructing our kids and student achievement. We need to make sure that they're high quality, passionate educators. And Act 10 damaged the teaching profession.
Jill, thank you for joining us.
You bet. I had a lot of fun. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Jill Underley is superintendent of the Pecatonica Area School District in the southwestern part of the state. Earlier, we talked with her opponent, Deb Kerr, former superintendent of Brown Deer School District. The election is on April 6th. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.